Hello, everyone. This is the last day of EMF. You all collectively had a great time, I presume. The null sector was fantastic. You saw amazing projects. You shared your passions with others. And you all got inspired to work on projects for the next 2 years. The aim of this talk is to give you a couple of tips to help you turn that inspiration and that motivation into a portfolio that can actually score you a couple of extra points when it comes to turning that hobby into a professional endeavor. Before I tell you more about how I got here, I guess I have to properly introduce myself, as I suspect most of you know me as just this weird guy in a lab coat with goggles appearing at EMF for no apparent reasons. Maybe five of you know that I have a YouTube channel, but only probably members of a T-side hack space that know what I actually do. But first, before we continue, could you give me a show of hands? Could you please raise your hands if you happen to work in an engineering sector? Okay, so I guess it's like 50-50 split. Half of you came to see, if I'm talking bullshit, the other half came for useful advice. So the first half, don't be afraid to call me out on that. We all here for the same reason. So I'm Matt. And I'm equally at bragging about myself as I'm at giving keynote speeches. I wrote this actual speech 4 years ago for EMF. It got accepted. Then I got scared and I bailed because I am terrified of public appearances like this on a stage in front of an audience. There's nothing more scary than being here right now. It took me 4 years to build the courage to be here, and it took me years to build the courage to actually do something about my life and move into a professional field and become an engineer. And don't worry, the irony of this situation isn't lost on me. So let's do it properly. I'm Matt. I'm an artist by heart and degree. I'm a maker and YouTuber, or influencer by choice, and an engineer by sheer luck and hard work. I work as a project leader for a company called Labman Automation, and we deliver industrial automation to the biggest companies. When I don't travel the world delivering robotic systems to one of the biggest companies in the world, like AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Fujifilm, I spend time tinkering at home and, coming up with the best optimization strategies for afternoon naps. Also, after this speech, I'll be certified international keynote speaker, and I'll surely gonna add that to my LinkedIn portfolio on Monday, so yay. This is my second time on the stage delivering a speech to an audience. If I told myself that this is what I'm going to be doing about 6 years ago, I probably would laugh at myself in disbelief because I could not see this coming. So I have a confession to make. At 18 years old, getting into the art school and getting art degree wasn't my first choice. Somehow I failed at the Polish exam. I'm Polish, by the way. And the way it works in Poland, you have to resit the test and then you're late to university. You can't select the course of your choice, so you have to pick something, otherwise you go to military conscription. At least that's how it was back in the day. So I did sign up for the art degree because me as an 18-year-old thought like drawing half-naked people for a degree was a good idea. I mean, it was certainly popular with ladies. But after I finished my degree, I came to the conclusion that standing in front of an interview panel and trying to demonstrate how my ability to draw half-naked humans was a good idea didn't pan out that well. So over the course of the next couple of years, I was doing art. And then I was working as a person in a baker and factory. And then I did a couple of other jobs, but my biggest achievement at this point was, well, I was 33, was outliving the Jesus and traveling from Poland to UK on a bicycle before mobile phones and GPS were a thing, through Italy. That's a correlation, not a causation, by the way. I figured I have two options left. Option one, I could get old, get through my midlife crisis, and buy myself a Porsche. It's a good option. Option two, find new direction in life and passion. I'm standing here, I turned 42 last year. I drove 5 hours in a 13-year-old Audi to this stage to present to you. So it's fair to assume I went with the option second. I don't have that Porsche. In hindsight, it would have been probably easier to buy that Porsche. For the next couple of years, I had to learn everything. I mean, virtually everything. It started with electronics and programming. Then, to preserve my thoughts, because I don't have a great memory, I was writing it down on my website. And then when I got some traction, I had to learn how to properly manage a website, make a YouTube channel, do web admin, be a SEO specialist, social media manager, becoming a cloud service expert when it all went offline, fill in for an accountant and then become a business owner. All of that wasn't easy and it took all my spare time. So, but I did achieve one thing. I become a zero with a hobby. I wasn't particularly brilliant at any of those jobs. I was really good at napping, though. But I was stubborn, I was organized, and I would do everything to escape the boredom at my work. Turns out that the job dissatisfaction was a really good motivator to get your life going in a different direction. And one day, when I was on the fifth result of a Google search page, and you can tell this speech was written 4 years ago because no one goes past AI summaries nowadays, right? But you know, when you're trying to solve this problem for your project and you venture it all the way to the fifth result of a Google search page, you're in trouble. But then it hit me. I discovered one thing about myself. I'm really good at solving problems. And that gave me a direction in life. Something that I really, really needed. So, with... I have a question. Do you know what's the difference between an engineer and a maker?
Sorry.
Yeah? You could also say that, you know, one gets to pay to play with the toys, the other one gets paid to play with the same toys, right? But the main reason is suddenly much more boring. It's documentation. Lots of it. Oof. So with the unhinged combination of, you know, end of the world COVID pandemic, newly acquired sense of direction and temporarily ignoring my mega imposter syndrome, I decided to send an email to my current employer with nothing but this. I'd love to tell you that I got the job straight away, leveraging my fame and online following, but after being caught in a heavy traffic while driving and trying to answer rapid-fire questions over the phone interview in a language that isn't my native, it probably went as good as you would expect. I didn't hear from them for the next 8 months. Long story short, after 3 follow-up interviews requested by me because I was still too scared to actually change my life, to apply for a job and work industry I have nothing about, I accepted the job offer and started to work as a technician in an industry I had a very little experience with. Moving from you know, going from moving servers by Arduino board to trying not to puncture a hole with a robotic arm that costs more than my salary was a bit of a leap. And each day, it consisted literally of me panicking because I don't know what I'm doing. Everyone else knows what they're doing. And I'm just hoping that no one's going to find out that I'm faking it. And I spend days and days learning new things and trying to catch up and hope that my brain is not going to explode. Thankfully, neither of that happened. Laban still doesn't exist 6 years on. Doesn't know that 6 years on, I'm still faking it. And I'm just doing it on a bigger scale. I'm still having tons of different Google websites open, you know, in the background and just carrying on as normal. By now, some of you just noticed a very particular theme or emotion to this talk. Many of you probably relate to that feeling of not being good enough, not having the right skill, or just simply not having the courage to stand and do what you want to do. It's scary, it's terrifying. Like, I'm terrified right now. There's a lot of people, and this is not familiar territory for me. But I can assure you that the person next to you doesn't know that you feel this way, unless you jump on the stage and grab the microphone and tell everyone about it. And that you aren't alone, right? The same process, the same thought process goes through the heads of everyone, which is also scary because some of us are like brain doctors and pilots, and I don't know how they do it. So over the 6 years, working as an engineer, I've learned that it wasn't my online fame that got me my job. My online presence, however, had everything to do with it, but not for the reasons I thought. And since we all agree that I can't really invent a time machine, go back and tell myself all those good tips that I've got for you, the next very best thing I can conquer my fear, stand on stage, and give you those couple of hints and hope that you're going to use them for the good, for progression of your career. As long as you're mindful of one thing, that all these words of wisdom and the list I'm going to present are composed on the engineering sample of one, just myself. So, first, the fear never goes away. You'll always be scared. You'll just push that goalpost again and again and again. It's going to be bigger, greater, bigger things. But that doesn't go away. The only thing that you can do with it is take that fear and use it as a propellant, as a fuel for your learning. Because when you're scared, you do stuff at 110%. So continue doing that. Continue learning. This is how you progress. You never learn anything by being comfortable. You need to get uncomfortable to learn. You are all unique. It's very easy to find in a trap, and so you're surrounded by, I am surrounded by people that would get this talk so much better than me. But we are all individuals. You are the master of what you've learned, or of all the knowledge that you've got. This is incredible resource, and be proud of that, because no one else has that skill, only you. This is the hardest one, value your time. Value your time and expertise, because everyone in the world will try to undervalue you. Don't be afraid to draw boundaries. This is probably most difficult skill to master because your value will change over time. Your time and effort becomes more valuable, but all you need to know is just a ballpark figure about where you stand. One of the things I discovered was when I hurt my back and couldn't do a lot of things that I used to get paid for, I thought I was just going to start saying no, I didn't. Instead of that, I just raised my price to figure out what actually all the people think about me and my skill and my creative input. And I was amazed how undervalued I was undervaluing myself. And that was a revelation to me. Okay. Now, I'm done with the inspirational part. This was like a kind of general thing. So let's get to the meat of things, and let's talk about things that are overlooked and are undervalued. And we'll talk about all the practical skills that you should keep in mind. You've got those skills. This is nothing new. I'm only here to point out that you need to add a different priority to the stuff that you're already doing, or maybe focus on a thing or two on that list that isn't there just yet. So let's start with the first. Preserve your ideas. Write them down. Do everything to make sure that you won't forget. I'm getting older. I keep revisiting my book, and I get excited about the projects that I never knew I wrote them down, even though I was excited for days about them. Second, document everything. Documentation is important. You can be a brilliant engineer, but if you can't keep the track of your work or can't present your documentation to another member of the team, you're useless. It's all about communication and being a team player. If you don't play as a team, you're going to be out-competed by other teams that can deliver the project on time and on budget. And you can do this. Third one is silly. Project manage your hobby. And, you know, you're doing that upgrade to the 3D printer. It's great, right? But write proposal for it. Do the costing. Do the procurement stage. Write it down. Make evidence. Do the track record of that. That will score you points in an interview because none of the engineering students are doing that. They're just brilliant at CAD or programming, but they forget about the paperwork because it's not important to them. It's not showcasing anything extra. But that's what it's important. Next one, don't stop at 80%. I know it's tempting. It's good enough. We all have been there. I've done the project. It works. It has 23,000 bugs, and it only works if you press selected combinations of keys. Try to finish them to 100%. Even if you fail, document your failure. Explain why and how, and what's the scope of fixing that. Because it matters. I have no choice. If I start on a project, I can't just abandon the 80% and say, good enough. You make your medicines, Johnson & Johnson. It's 80% successful. It's fine. We'll be fine. It doesn't work like this. You have to complete your project to 100%. You have to show that you can do this. And on top of that, don't be afraid to revisit old projects and make them better. It's a perfect case for your portfolio. Take something that you constructed 10 years ago and make it better. Make it current. Make the documentation. Make it part of your portfolio. It matters. Lastly, don't limit yourself to a field. Experiment with new things. Learn outside of your comfort zone. Because there is this saying, jack of all trades, master of none. But not many people know how it goes further. It goes like this. But oftentimes better than a master of one. This means that if you are the most useful tool in that toolbox, you're going to be used the most valuable, not the niche special wrench to do a perfect bolt once a month. Everyday hammer, that's what you want to be, to fix everything. That's you. And since you're at DMF, you probably are that person already. But most importantly, regardless of your age, regardless of how you feel, whether it's too late for you or not too late, you have only one life, and dying with a regret that you haven't tried it, it's probably less terrifying. No, it's more terrifying. Yes, it's definitely more terrifying than trying to compete for the same job with students in their 20s. Trust me that. So, before you give up on your dreams, the most rewarding ones will take most of your time. There'll be extra hours, sleepless, times, research, everything. This is how you recognize what you want to pursue. It has that value in your heart. You are willing to put extra time, so go do it. Okay? You're already miles ahead in that journey ahead of me. You do, because you're here. I didn't know about EMF until I was already employed. And you all are here and displaying projects, displaying the ability to do everything. You dare. So share your skills, showcase your skills with others, and learn and network, because that will become important in this journey. And if you're interested in taking your hobby to a professional level, use my advice to refine your process. Give yourself a better professional start. And it is true. You will need some luck along the way. There's no other way around it. I've been extremely lucky. But no amount of luck will compensate for the lack of readiness. So there are great things ahead of you. Go get them. Thank you.